Hi, it's Belinda Carley from Institute of Personal Care Science, and today I am going to be talking with a director of product design and development with a raw material company to take a look at how we can select the best actives to get the best results. There's so many materials out there to choose from. How does a formulator make their choice? And that's something I work with every day, and so much choice out there. How do I come to a decision? When I'm choosing an active ingredient, it's important to compare the in vitro data of different actives, in vivo results for import claims and results, and compatibility information and data to make sure that I'm formulating with the materials properly to get the best results in my finished product. And of course, it takes time to source all of this information and compile it, and then sort out which materials are going to give me the best results and how to put them into a formula. So if a company doesn't provide this information to me readily, it makes it really difficult to formulate an effective product or even make a choice. In my years of formulating, I've found that there are just a few companies that provide me with all of these answers easily, and then that makes these companies very reliable and go-to choices for me when I'm formulating. One of these products is CLR. I have with me today Harold Vanderhoeven, who is the Director of Product Design and Development with CLR. Harold, can you tell me a little bit about your role?
So basically, I'm the guy between R&D and sales and marketing, essentially. So, we do pretty hardcore science at CLR, where we do in vitro and in vivo tests, ex vivo, etc., looking at all kinds of markers in the skin. And our customers normally talk a different language. They want to see what is the consumer relevance of the active ingredient. So this science needs to be translated into the other language, essentially. And that's what I try to do. So I'm kind of an applied scientist using my background as an R&D director at CLR, and then using my, experience in the sales and marketing and combining the two. And that's where I support our customers, but also our salespeople, our distributors all over the world.
And Harold, CLR has been around making active ingredients for the cosmetic industry since the 1950s. How important, and with your background, have you found it to combine the science and the marketing aspects of active ingredients?
Well, that's been a process for us, to be honest. Basically, up until probably 15 years ago, 20 years ago, we were all about science. That's all we did. So let's say the first 40, 50 years of our existence, it was all about, proving the effect and doing the in vitros and the in vivos, and then going to the customer in the hope that the customer understood the science, and then hopefully applied that science into something. And of course, that's just a few customers who are able to really do that translation themselves, because, if you're a cosmetic scientist, you need to know a lot about a lot, emoji technology until microbiology and also dermatology and these kinds of things. And that is a complicated thing. And that is why we essentially started in the end to put more emphasis on the marketing aspect, or at least the consumer aspect, and what does the consumer need of a skincare product. That's what we're talking about normally. We're focusing on skincare. And that's about 20 years ago that we started with that. And that's what we've been, developing further and further. But the background will always be science. We will always want to have a scientifically valid product, so to say.
And that's one of the great things about CLR materials, especially when I'm looking at different actives to pick. I know I can trust the CLR material to really deliver on its promises. Can you tell me a little bit about how CLR goes about testing ingredients and bringing this information to formulators? Because you do have this very extensive wealth of scientific knowledge and proof behind all of your materials. So how do you go about that?
So basically we start, we have different technologies where we first look at the rough sketch of an activity of an active ingredient. So we do studies on skin cells or skin models, full skin models, epidermal skin models, where we look at what does this ingredient do in the context maybe of dry skin or UV irradiated skin or polluted skin or blue light and these kinds of things, just to get an idea on how does this ingredient work. And then if we get that feel, if we see, let's say, a trend towards a certain activity, then we will go into depth and define the in vitro or the ex vivo studies and design these studies to obtain, let's say, relevant, good proof and a good proof of concept in the end, which is time consuming, but it's a lot of trial and error as well, because we don't really focus on the chemistry or the chemical composition of our products, but rather on the biological activity, because biological activity can come from so many molecules in a plant extract or a probiotic lysate or these kinds of things. So we really look at the biological activity. We want to have that biological activity to be reproducibly there, so batch by batch, of course. If we get to a point that we have a good proof of concept and a good product with a good production process, which is reproducible, that we will then we will go into the in vivo studies. So that's hugely important to us, of course. We want to have an in vivo clinical proof of the activity. You know, it needs to, an active ingredient needs to penetrate into the skin, basically. And this is something which is not easy to do for many molecules, and these molecules might really be active on skin cells or skin models even, but might not be active on skin. So we really need that in vivo proof.
And of course, it's those in vivo claims or in vivo results that are so important for marketing claims. So what are some of the key things that CLR looks for when comparing their in vitro, ex vivo, and in vivo data?
Well, coherence, I think, is the let's say the key word here. It's all nice and good to do in vitro studies with fancy results or showing all kinds of effects on cytokines or maybe epigenetics or these kinds of things. But if there is no correlation between these results and an in vivo result, then the in vitro results are basically redundant. There's no relevance there. So for us, it's very important to always extrapolate the results we obtain from the in vitro and ex vivo data or studies to an in vivo result. So that is really where the two ends meet, the cell biological effects, activities, and the in vivo activity should be coherent. They should be understandable and scientifically valid in the end.
I must say that's one of the main reasons that I just trust CLR products when I'm making my selections. You know, it's not just the in vivo efficacy data is there, but you've done all of this ex vivo or in vitro study to determine how it's bringing about that in vivo effect and that coherence, as you mentioned, that makes your material so reliable and so consistent. And then with so many fast-changing trends and suppliers then jumping on the bandwagon and following these trends, how does CLR keep up? How do you keep using this great clinical data and research in the background to follow those trends and even lead some of the research into some of these trends as they come out?
Yeah, we essentially don't jump on the bandwagon a lot, to be honest. We are very conservative. We you know, if blue light becomes a trend, we'll first look at it and do our own little studies and see, or big studies, and then see whether or not we see cosmetic relevance, first of all, and whether or not we see a relevant, valid activity of an active ingredient of ours. So that's really what it starts with. We look at the things. Of course, we see the trends, and sometimes we get lucky and we are a trendsetter. See, for instance, the probiotic lysates, which are all of a sudden a big thing at the moment, but which we have been producing since the early 1980s. But essentially, day-to-day life shows that we are conservative and see what's going on. And in the end, we need to realize that CLR, and I think that's important to know, is that our ingredients are more often than not used as a kind of a working horse of formulations. So they might be, you know, not the sexiest of ingredients, but they do the work in the background. whereas other ingredients might be used for the marketing story, which is very important. So there's of course that you know that's almost a symbiosis between those ingredients, but one would not be able to work without the other, maybe. But we think the working horse is more important than the, let's say, with all due respect, gimmicky active ingredient or extract or these kinds of things against.
And of course, regardless of trends, it's always the results that matter, isn't it? So companies can keep up with some of these fast changing trends, but still have a CLR workhorse in the formula to make sure that it's delivering on its performance for the consumer. How do you see that fitting in with some chemists' formulation decisions about which ingredients they use or keep using, and then maybe change to keep up with trends?
So yeah, basically you see, it depends on the brand, of course. Many brands are have very short life cycles when it comes to their products. They put products on the market and if they don't work, they're off within 6 months, I guess. Or if they work, they're going to be on the market for a year or 1.5. And there's brands which basically have been on the market for decades, and they might have tweaked their formulation over those years, but they will always stay with let's say the same basic formulation with the same basic active ingredients. And essentially, what we see and what basically is also part of our whatever you call it, philosophy or strategy, those working horses will always be used, and they will always, well, they tend to stay in formulations more often than the other ingredients which might be used for the marketing story. So for us, it's very important to stay in formulations, because that's good for our business, essentially, and a sustainable type of business, and that's what we see. That also means that there's a lot of brands on the market and a lot of companies on the market. They focus on the marketing, and they're successful with that. And that's fine. That's fine. If they want to use a product of ours, great, because that might make their products better. But if they don't, well, everybody needs, gets a piece of the pie kind of thing. So that's also fine. We have our little niche. But you see those brands which put emphasis on efficacy and really, a sustainable growth of the brand, where the consumers are loyal to the brand, which is a very difficult thing to, consumer loyalty is a hugely complicated thing to gain. To keep consumers buying your products is a hugely difficult thing for cosmetic brands. And the use of these working horses, preferably from CLR, of course, is something which definitely will help in obtaining that sustainable presence or growth in the cosmetic market, which is obviously hugely saturated.
So I could potentially use a CLR working horse in a minimally disruptive formula and then make it trendy and sexy with whatever's happening at the time quite quickly, and still know it's going to work and deliver results for a consumer and be fast to market.
Absolutely. That's what we see a lot in the market. And we also obviously help our customers in getting that right balance between a good story, an appealing story, where the consumer is able or willing to buy the product because it looks nice, it smells nice, the story is nice, and that activity. We do try to help them there, not necessarily always with our ingredient. The working horse will always be there and will always be from CLR, but also with concepts. We look at market research data and what's the trend, and what's COVID doing, and how is the consumer changing? Lots of geographic differences, Asia versus Europe versus US, Australia. So we always try to help them in finding that right balance.